gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Thursday edition that we sure do wish was a Friday edition. Moving in on a big four-day weekend. About damn tired of talking about dead kids. But that is the world we live in, and it's a pretty common occurrence. You know, every couple weeks talking about some dead kids. Hell, in this nation in the year 2020, gun deaths, number one cause of death for kids and adolescents in the United States. That's American exceptionalism, baby. We're unique. You know, no one's like us.
We're special.
Anyways, we find ourselves talking about this again. And what is so strange to me, Dom, is as the circumstances of this newest shooting come out, how many of the facts that we, the public, were first told are inaccurate? You know, the governor, Greg Abbott, calling the cops heroes. Well, the heroes sat outside for over an hour. And my understanding is the heroes were looking for keys. But the kid got in unimpeded. I mean, and they also said the kid was confronted before he went in the building. Well, now CNN is reporting that's not true.
Yeah.
Kid went into the building unimpeded.
So if and we'll find out more, hopefully. We'll get the real story. But certainly it is concerning to have political and elected officials and perhaps law enforcement to tell stories that are not accurate. And I get it, you know, in the fog of war and all those kinds of things. But at some point, it becomes purposeful, right? And of course, my concern being is that, well, we can't make it look like a good guy with the gun isn't part of the solution. Because what do they always say is part of the solution? A good guy with the gun, right? Thoughts and prayers, good guys with guns, mental illness. There's only so many variables that can be dissuaded and cast aside as not relevant before you get down to the nitty-gritty. And it's evident for everyone that it is the weapons. Brian, I know you pulled this one for me. Media Matters did a little cut-up of Fox News recently. And, you know, we appreciate our audience. And we had some callers yesterday and today and, you know, offering ideas and thoughts and how to address, you know, these terrible issues. Well, Media Matters did a little cut-up. And you have to bear with me here. It's about 2 minutes long. The 50 ways that Fox News pundits and hosts think that we can address the gun problem without talking about the guns.
If 50 you would, ways to kill your lover.
Please 50 ways to, yeah, pretty much. All right, let's hear it, Brian, if you would, please.
I advocate always for an armed security guard,
armed school safety officer,
armed deputy,
arming teachers,
potentially arm and prepare and train teachers and other administrators,
armed school staffers,
bring in policemen,
training. The students themselves.
Retired military, retired law
training
enforcement.
The kids?
We can offer them tax breaks.
If you give law enforcement the opportunity to impose martial law, we can guarantee safety
martial
and security.
Law?
Securing that perimeter, kind of providing kind of a ring of steel.
You have the fences, you have the main administration
ring
building,
of steel?
And then you have wide gaps on either side. The fencing's not very high.
Were the doors locked?
Bulletproof glass.
All of these shootings have happened at the same time that we see religion and Christian values and Judeo-Christian values declining.
The Bible back in school?
Anybody who decides that they want to do something like this should immediately know that attacking a school is a death sentence for them.
Kids are afraid of being the school snitch.
We have to stop letting these schools be gun-free zones.
People need to put their phones down and get to know the person next to them.
We have spent billions of dollars on COVID-related measures for our schools. Let's take some of that money and divert it over to hardening these soft targets.
A lot of these private schools, they take security way more serious.
Parents, take your children to church.
This anti-police narrative is forcing people not to call police.
Is that it? I think that's the
the supercut.
Oh no. There's more. Maybe some technical issues here, but let me continue on. Fight this anti-police narrative. Series of interlocking doors, tripwire. Trap the shooter like a rat. God. Address moral rot. Decrease social media exposure. Focus on mental health. Pray. Faith and prayer. Make schools more like airports. Don't be triggered. Assault rifles.
Don't be triggered.
Body armor.
But the
notification system. Single point of entry. Don't talk about the shooting. Raise your children properly. Ballistic blankets. Give police more resources. Executive order for mental health facilities. Return to God. Arm yourself everywhere. And number 50, it's up to you to protect yourself. But I mean, there's so many there. 50 of them. Some of my favorites, though, Crudy, and you noticed it. Train the students themselves. Yes, yeah, so let's get the 9-year-olds that were mowed down with an AR-15. Let's give
it's
them
their
some,
fault.
Some training, because, yes, exactly.
I mean, by implication, you're saying it's the kids' fault. They just weren't properly trained to fend off the marauder. You know, if the 9-year-olds had been properly trained with an AR-15 and properly armed, of course.
Well, yeah.
Well, they could have fought the kid off. The kid of 18, the adult murderer in this case. Or maybe, you know, they shoot Bobby on the playground because he stole your jacks. But, you know, a little collateral damage.
I mean, the price
hell, we're
for
willing
freedom.
To accept 10 dead kids a day plus as collateral damage in our country for the freedom to have unrestrained gun ownership or whatever the hell they think this Second Amendment gives them. Freedom!
So, I mean, you know, that's a cut up from Media Matters on Fox News and their hosts and contributors addressing. And what you did not hear in any of those 50, the top 50, was any sense of background checks or assault weapons ban.
No, I'm a no along, on that.
Nope. Anything along those lines, not one word. In fact, a large percentage of them, as noted, were arming school safety officers and deputies and teachers, administrators and school staffers, policemen, trained the students themselves, retired military. And I guess that gets us back to why it's so concerning, this how the law enforcement is addressing this issue and the politicians addressing this issue in Texas. Because if your argument, if 10% of the Fox contributors and hosts think the solution is armed adults and with some sort of trained capacity on site, and that's exactly what was going on in Texas, and yet this happened, again, you have to discount that. So if you do what you say and shooting still happens, don't you have to now do something else? Of course, we all know this is a bunch of BS from...
Yeah, more guns.
Yeah, that's it. More guns.
More guns in the school. More guns. Harden the schools. Arm them up. You know, because you need more good guys. Except there's a whole party of good guys, cops standing outside the school in Texas, and they didn't go in. And it's befuddling to me. My understanding is there were actually negotiations going on. The cops were negotiating with the guy. That is also being reported at CNN. Let me give you a little update, because some of this is still breaking news. CNN reporting, the 18-year-old gunman who killed 21 in an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, was not confronted by police before he entered the school, according to Texas law enforcement officials today, contradicting earlier comments from authorities and raising further questions about police response to the massacre. He walked in unobstructed initially, Texas Department of Public Safety Regional Director Victor Escalon said. So from the grandmother's house, he apparently shot her in the face, to the ditch, to the school, into the school, he was not confronted by anybody. Well, that's not what we've been told. A DPS representative on Wednesday said the school resource officer had engaged with the suspect before he went into the school. Hell, they said he shot some bullets out of the guy's armor belt or some crap. Escalon's comments come in a news conference that added further confusion to the timeline of Tuesday's horrific shooting. The massacre marked the deadliest U.S. shooting in nearly a decade, but hell, man, we've had lots of them. This one's just, you know, a higher body count. And at least the 30th school shooting at K-12 schools this freaking year. 30th shooting at a school this year. and it has thrown the nation, where active shooter attacks jumped more than 50% last year, yet again into a fury of anger and grief amid renewed calls for gun reform laws. Those will not pass. Not with the current governance we have. Not with Republicans. Every freaking Republican voted against a domestic terrorism bill today. You know, far too partisan. Not too many of my constituents might be caught up in this.
A little more here from CNN as well on this very issue. Victor Luna, a parent of a student at Robb Elementary School, said he pleaded with officers to give him their gear so he could go inside as the shooting was happening. I told one of the officers myself, if they didn't want to go in there, let me borrow his gun and a vest. I'll go in there myself to handle it. They told me no, he told CNN, adding that he wanted the officers to go in and get rid of that man, the shooter. He goes on to say, I mean, they took a while for them to go in there. I mean, this tragedy happens like kids didn't make it out. They were doing their job, but they could have done it quicker before that man went to the school. His son Jaden survived Tuesday's mass shooting. He said he also had grandchildren in the school. He told CNN that some of the officers were going in and out of the building, but he wanted to see more. In a situation like that, they should have just all went in. I mean, there are innocent students in there. They could have gunned him down like he did them when he walked in.
Well, I've got an update on that regard, Dom. There was no school resource officer on site. That's how you know there was no confrontation. Let me read on. Or available at the time, he said. Inside, the suspect walked into a classroom, fired more than 25 times. The majority of the gunfire was at the beginning of the attack. But let me read on. Officers arrived at the school at 11:44 a.m. Now, the police station is 1 mile away, and that's a fairly rapid response, I guess. He arrived at the school at 11:28, cops on scene at 11:44. But when they went to confront the gunmen, they received fire and took cover. They called for more resources and personnel, evacuated students and teachers in other parts of the school, and at some point entered negotiations with the suspect. A U.S. Border Patrol tactical team came to the classroom, forced entry, and fatally shot the suspect after about an hour. The news conference underscored the confusion and disorganization of the police response and failed to answer questions as to how the gunman was able to remain inside the classroom for such a long time. We're up to like 90 minutes before they killed the shooter. Uvalde Police Chief Daniel Rodriguez issued a statement Thursday defending his officer's response to the shooting. Two responding officers were shot by the suspect, but are expected to survive. That's good news, I guess. It is important for our community to know that our officers responded within minutes alongside school resource officers. Well, you just freaking said there was no school resource officer.
And responding by standing outside, armed.
Taking cover.
Well, taking cover. Why were they taking cover? Do you think they were afraid of the guy's AR-15 that was being used to shoot at them? You think that had any impact? I mean, if the perps are better armed than the cops, is that not a problem? So much for a good guy with a gun. Al Roster reported former FBI Assistant Director Frank Figliuzzi blasted the changing stories from law enforcement, who also initially claimed the gunman had been engaged by an armed resource school officer, which authorities have admitted was a lie. His quote, the facts are so in conflict with each other right now that the only thing I can tell you with certainty is that the communications coming out of law enforcement right now are horribly broken. Again, this is a former FBI assistant director. We're all familiar with the physician's Hippocratic oath, do no harm. That press conference today by that regional DPS director did harm.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's a Thursday, but we're treating it like Friday. We ain't working tomorrow. We'll play a fine replay, I'm sure. But if you want a piece, if you got something to say, today is your day. So start dialing 844-967-2789. We'll come back. More of your phone calls will be next. Devil's Advocates Radio Show. But I am heartbroken. And I am so sick of this. Pushing forward back now.
thank God, the police.